the rest of the story. Phineas Taylor was a lion being thrown to the Christians, or so he saw himself. He alone had sounded the alarm that a coalition of religious right-wingers was trying to mug the Constitution and establish a theocracy in the United States. Now he was paying for having issued that warning. Only a year or so ago, Phineas had been little more than an ambitious young shopkeeper, but he had noticed that emotionally charged revival meetings were springing up everywhere. He'd become concerned about the mounting religious frenzy, which had culminated in a few suicides, even murders. He'd also been astonished to learn that a number of influential ministers, riding the crest of the recent fanaticism, were planning to form a so-called Christian party, a group that would insist only Christians could hold public office. Now, it should be stated before we go further that Phineas Taylor considered himself a Christian, and that at least until now he had been rather in awe of the clergy, but at 21 he was ripe for a disillusionment of some kind, and this particular disillusionment awakened in him a righteous indignation of its own. So, the young man decided to dispense the truth himself by printing his own newspaper, the Herald of Freedom, he called it. And what do you know? The citizens of Bethel, Connecticut, began buying it. In fact, the fledgling crusader soon attracted a following of his cause, and then he went too far. In print, he accused a locally respected church deacon of lending money to an impoverished boy, an orphan no less, at an excessively high rate of interest. In a word, that was usury. And in those days, that was an especially serious allegation. Well, the deacon, Seth Seeley, charged Phineas with libel, took him to court, and won the lawsuit. And the judge in the case, a churchman himself, sentenced the Herald editor to a stiff fine and 60 days in the Danbury, Connecticut jail. Yes, that might have been the last anyone ever heard or cared about Phineas Taylor. But to his surprise and joy, the Herald of Freedom supporters rallied. They insisted that Phineas be permitted to continue publishing his newspaper while still in jail. And when his 60 days incarceration were up, a throng of hundreds gathered at the courthouse, escorted the newly released prisoner to a waiting carriage, and from there back to Bethel in a triumphal singing, shouting, cannon-saluting parade. The guilt or innocence of the deacon in question has never been proved either way to the satisfaction of posterity. It is to a large extent irrelevant because, on the occasion of that legal action, a crusading young newspaper editor learned something very important about the truth he had defended so vigorously. It can get you in a whole lot of trouble. But wait a minute, he also learned something else. He loved the attention. He loved the attention. And thus tantalized, he would spend the rest of his life consuming as much of the limelight as he could possibly attract. For once upon a religious controversy, in the summer of 1832, there was a self-styled guardian of liberty who unexpectedly became addicted to adulation and yearning for renown. He would later leave his ideals in the dust, marketing his own brand of truth to a world full of suckers. And that's how it is that you remember the shopkeeper turned insatiable celebrity, Phineas Taylor. That's how come you remember him as P.T. Barnum. Only now you know the rest of the story.